John's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Down to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Finally, verse 28. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. It's really those last eight words that are upon my mind tonight. The Master is come, and calleth for thee. I'd like to seek to try and put this into context tonight, because what we have in John chapter 11 is a scene of sickness, and then a scene of death, and finally a statement of a visitor. We were to have been in Bethany that day. We had come into a home where sickness was raging, fever, pain, discomfort, anguish, anxiety. Sisters looking out the window, waiting, wondering, groans, tears. And in their hearts there was only one question. Does anybody care? And as that condition worsened, finally the moment came when the last enemy, moved with his presence. The invisible foe pushed his last frontier away, and death came in with his finality. What changed is simply this: the tears became wails. Eyes that had once hopeful now became the glassy stares of hopelessness. Sisters sat down in their grief and their anguish and their sorrow, and all hope is gone. As I think of this scene in Bethany, I can't help but think that this is a description of this world tonight. A world that is rocking and reeling in hopelessness. World that is plagued by tremendous sorrow. A world that has no answers. A world that's wrung with anguish. Sometimes I move as I think of that school in Scotland where that man entered into that gymnasium. And after the shock were fired, 16 kindergarten children lay dead or dying, school teacher among them, an entire village was turned to sorrow and anguish and hopelessness. That's the world. World that's sick. World that's plagued by the awful ravages of sin. But what we have here in Bethany is not just a description of the world, but it's a description of many a home. Homes in which parents are looking for answers and for ways of help. And there's no answer to be found. Homes that are breaking up. I was shocked just the other day. My parents told me of an acquaintance of ours, married a number of years. They told me that marriage is just split up. He's gone off with somebody else. Suddenly that faithful wife is left to go it alone herself. me of ordinariness. What we have here in John chapter 11 is not just the description of a world
and the description of many a home, but it's what marks many a life tonight. Perhaps you've come into this meeting and you wonder if anybody cares. Perhaps you're not even convinced that anybody is concerned about you. And as you try and make your way through this life, trying to fill the emptiness of your soul, you discover the sorrow and the anguish and the hopelessness that sin brings. And yet into such a scene, there comes a message. The Master has come, and he calleth for thee. I trust that that message of eight words will grip your soul tonight, because friend, that is the very basis of the gospel. The Master has come, and he's calling for you. When I think of that message of eight words, I'd like to divide it this way. The Master is come. The great incarnation. The great visitation from heaven. A moment came when the mighty Creator stepped into His own creation. A moment came when God visited this world in His Son. And tonight the message of the gospel concerns a man called Jesus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Master has come. The incarnation is real. But this message goes further. For it says the Master has come and He's calling. He calleth. And when I think of heaven's call tonight, I think of the tremendous interest that heaven has for the individual. God is interested in you. And God, by His grace, is moving toward you in the person of His Son through the gospel. And tonight, heaven's interest is being extended to this guilty world with all of its fullness. The Master's come, and He calleth for you. Not only do we have the incarnation and heaven's interest, but I want you to know that there is a personal invitation that has come from the Savior's lips. The Master is come, and He calleth for you. I trust we won't lose the significance of a simple statement, because this tremendous news was going to change that entire scene. And I'm thankful to say that this wonderful message of the gospel is what brings hope to a hopeless world. This message of a Savior is what brings deliverance to a sinking world. This message of Christ and His work is what brings light to a dark world. Because the Master is calling for you. When I think of that simple statement, the Master is come, I bow with worship, because friend, tonight, the distance that He came is immeasurable. We are speaking of the stars this afternoon, and when I think that in this galaxy of ours, the Milky Way, there are 100 billion stars, so they estimate. And as we look up, we only see just a fraction of the Milky Way. A giant circular-shaped galaxy, 100,000 light years across. And yet they tell us that there are at least as many galaxies as stars in the Milky Way. He made it all. The stars are the works of His fingers. And yet there was a moment that came when He left the splendors of heaven and He came into this world. This speck of cosmic dust. He came down past angels, the seraphim and cherub, and He came down to this planet of ours. The distance that He came is immeasurable tonight. But from the depths of His stoop, are unfathomable. The Bible says he humbled himself. What does that mean? It means that the eternal God stepped into time. It means that the mighty Creator stepped into his own creation. And the wonder of the incarnation is that the Word became flesh. That he actually became a man. Fully God, fully man. What a stoop! But not only did he become a man, but we find he became a resident. He didn't come as a tourist. But the Bible says the Word dwelt amongst us. He willingly took up residency in this world. He was willing to work in the carpenter shop. He was willing to live in a small town called Nazareth. And for 33 years, he was a resident. Not only, friends, did that stoop involve becoming a man, but we find that he's no red carpet treatment for him. As we come to the final days and the final hours before Calvary, we find a moment came when the majestic Son of God took a towel, laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself, stepped over to that table and took a basin of water. He turned to his disciples and he stooped once again and began to wash the disciples' feet. What a stoop was this? Friend, he went lower. The Bible says of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. The one who made all. And the one who should have been recognized by this world came into this world in poverty. In fact, as night came on, he could say to his disciples, and perhaps even saw the animals, he said, the foxes, they have their holes. Perhaps he could watch the birds going off to their nests. And he said, the birds, they have their nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And many a night, the Son of God spent under the canopy of heaven. He was poor. But Freddy went even further than that. We find that when the Master who came took that tremendous stoop, he became the Lamb of God destined for the altar, destined for the place of sacrifice. And the moment came when he, bearing his cross, went forth to the place of the skull. The depths of his stoop are immeasurable. But when the Master came, the darkness of his sufferings are impenetrable. We come to Calvary tonight. We watch a man going into the darkness. The darkness of our sin. The darkness of the judgment of God. And willingly, knowingly, voluntarily, submissively, he stepped into those dark waters of judgment. And he sank. And he cried. And the darkness enveloped him. And from that supernatural darkness at Calvary, we hear that awesome cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can't penetrate that darkness. The Master came. And he finished the work. And thank God, the light of the world entered into the darkness, that we might be delivered from the darkness and brought into his marvelous light. Tonight we have gathered to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Master who has come. He's the Savior who has come. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank God for the incarnation. Thank God for that moment when the Son of God was sent. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And tonight there is hope. Tonight there is a Savior. Tonight there is salvation. Tonight there is forgiveness for your sin. What did his coming involve? It involved a call. The Master is come, and he's calling. As I think of that calling, I'm made aware that it's more than just a voice being heard. He spoke. But when I think of this call, I sense energy. I sense the interest of a man who's reaching out. A man who's inquiring. A man who yearns to draw alongside of individuals. The Master has come, and he's calling. One of the great truths of the God of heaven is that he's the one who is calling right from the very start. You know that the very first question is a call in the Bible? Our first parents had turned away in disobedience. They had plunged the entire human race into sin. And despite that it was rank disobedience against the God of heaven, the God of all grace moved toward our first parents. And the voice of the Lord God was heard in the garden again. Adam, where are you? You know, it's the same call that's coming here tonight in this auditorium. And God is sitting to call you to your location. Where are you tonight? Adam, where are you? It's only when a sinner is located. It's only when a sinner understands that I'm accountable to God that there'll be any progress made as far as salvation is concerned. We find that when this call comes, it comes for location. When this call comes, it's for consultation. What thrills me is that the God of salvation is the one who says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. And tonight, there's not an individual here in this auditorium that has sinned so much that God is not interested in you. Not one. His call comes to you, and the call says, come now and let us reason together. Let us go into court together. Let us sit down, because I have good news for you. There is salvation. This call comes for rest. And as we think of the Savior's words in Mark chapter 11, verse 28, he could speak to a weary world when he said, come now and let us come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Perhaps that marks your life. Perhaps you carry the tremendous weight of guilt. Perhaps you carry the tremendous grief of a sad course of sin. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Master is gone. He really has gone. He really has finished the work. And now he stands in the power of resurrection. Every claim has been substantiated by the empty tomb. And tonight we're thankful to be able to tell you that there is salvation in this man. And he brings rest and forgiveness and salvation and security and satisfaction for both time and for all eternity. In fact, as I look at this audience tonight, I'm thankful to see hundreds of lives here that have heard this call and have responded to us, and have been brought into the blessing of God's salvation. 25 years ago, as a young university student in the city of London, Ontario, I discover that the Master has come. And he was calling. But I can tell you tonight what made it much better than just even those two wonderful facts are those last two words. The Master has come. And he's calling for you. You know, that includes the young people in the front row. That includes the teenager in the balcony tonight. That includes the middle-aged couples scattered throughout this audience. That includes the aged individual tonight. The Master has come, and he's calling for you. It's personal. He's interested in you. And he's followed your course. And he's called your name. If he knows where you're headed, if you're in your sins tonight, you're headed for a hopeless end. You're headed for eternal darkness. You're headed for the awful anguish of a place called hell. Because of his compassion and his love and his concern and his kindness, the Master has come and he's calling for you. It's personal. Based on his love. But I trust you understand, friend, tonight, that for every soul, there will come a final call. There will come a final day of grace. There will come a final gospel meeting. And tonight is what you do with this wondrous person and with this blessed call. That will determine where it will be forever. A number of years ago, on the island of Newfoundland, there was a young man, a very careless young man. Thankful to say that today he's a respected elder in God's assembly. Sandy was just a teenager and really didn't care about too much except his own pleasure. One Sunday afternoon, he decided he was going to go ice fishing. And so he told his father, he said, "Dad, I'm going out ice fishing." And he got his gear together and got on the old skidoo. Now, the skidoo wasn't very good. No headlights, bent up ski, not much of a seat, but at least it ran. So Sandy headed out. Went across the bog there. Through the woods, down by the lake, and as he was going over the ice, he spied smoke coming out of one of the little cabins along that lake, and so instead of going fishing, he went over to where that cabin was. Pushed open the door, and he saw some of his buddies in there, and they were drinking. Forgot all about fishing. Spent the afternoon in that little cabin. Night came on. It was wintertime. And the young teenager, under the influence of alcohol, thought, "I better get home." He got on his skidoo, but the light didn't work. And furthermore, he couldn't navigate very well. And as he went and tried to pick his way through the woods, suddenly that ski caught some of the underbrush, pulled him over, ran into a tree, turned over. And the man realized that he wasn't getting home in his skidoo, so he began to walk. He picked his way along. But the coldness was intensifying. And finally, a young man came to the end of his strength. And he decided that maybe the best thing for him to do would be to just kind of pull off and lie down under a tree and just get a little bit of sleep. And then when he had his strength back, he would set up for home again. I want to tell you that at the other end of the spectrum was a father. And he saw night coming on. He knew his son wasn't home. And finally that father couldn't contain himself any longer and he lit the lantern. And he began to walk down the course that he had seen his son take earlier in the day. And he walked for a number of miles. And then he began to call. Sandy! Sandy! And he listened. And he walked on again. Stopped and said, Sandy! And listened again. That father continued that walk and continued the call until finally, way off in the woods, he heard a response. And as that father made his way over to where that son was lying in tremendous danger of going out into eternity, father embraced that son of his. Brought him back. I want to tell you tonight, friends, that's a little picture of your life. God says you're lost in your sins. God says you're in danger of perishing. God says there's an awful eternity ahead for those who are not prepared, not saved. But the Master has come. He's calling for you. What will you do with his call tonight? What will you do with Calvary's love? What will you do with the one who loved you and gave himself for you? In drops of precious blood, he paid that tremendous price that you might be brought into the greatest of all blessings, the blessing of forgiveness of sin. The Master's come. He's calling for you. You see, that's where this meeting comes to, isn't it? Savior, a work, a call, a response. And every single individual, young and old alike, will decide what they will do with this call and with this blessed person. Thank God he's come. Thank God there is salvation. Thank God there's an open door. Thank God there's an invitation tonight. The Master has come and he's calling for you. For those who will respond and will receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. God help you to come. Shall we pray? Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would pray thy blessing upon thy word. We are thankful tonight for this blessed one who came from heaven to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Tonight we're thankful for the mighty price that was paid and for the one who is calling in the gospel tonight. We pray for each individual that has come here. We pray that, our Father, they might understand heaven's interest. They might have that desire to respond to the Savior tonight. We're thankful that thy word says, he that hath the Son hath life. Father, we understand that he that hath not the Son hath not life. And so we pray that there might be those that would solemnly weigh these issues up. And that, Lord, they might be wise in view of eternity. What shall it profit a man if he will gain the entire world and in the end lose his own soul? So our Father, we pray thy blessing. Speak by the Spirit of God. Preserve the Word of God as we head home. Take each one home in safety. We pray that tonight there might be some soul in this auditorium that would respond to the invitation from heaven and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.